The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to the BS Report. The Masters is upon us, and for the first time ever, we're adopting a golfer here in the BS Report, and for Grantland, too, for both. He's on the phone right now on the Subway Fresh Take hotline. In Augusta, Nick Watney, what's happening?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm honored to be adopted, and everything's great here in Augusta.
You, there's a variety of reasons we love you, and a variety of reasons that you have ties to Grantland that you might not even know about. One of them is that you live in Las Vegas, which is the unofficial home of the BS Report in Grantland. Now, you're from California, and now you live in Las Vegas. You've consciously chosen to live there. What were the reasons for wanting to live in Las Vegas?
There's a few different reasons. First of all, my coach Butch Harmon lives in Las Vegas, so that was a draw. Secondly, it's pretty good for traveling for the tour, and then thirdly is the state. State taxes are not what they are in California.
Right.
And lastly would be, as you sometimes say, if gambling were legal, gambling is legal in Las Vegas.
What? I had no idea. When did that happen? I have a feeling the actual order of that list is no state taxes, one, gambling, two, your coach, three, and then I don't know what for, weather, but... You were in the Super Contest, which is how we started emailing. I did it the last 2 years. I finished top 20 2 years ago, and then last year I almost had a dramatic run from the basement and nearly made it. But how did you do last year, out of curiosity?
Well, last year it was two of my friends and I decided to enter the contest, and we made a run in the middle of the year, and we got up to, I think it was like 38th place or something. We were 9-1 in two weeks. And then, looking good in our season long bet.
Yeah.
And then we started to take a dive, and I hate to do this, but one of my buddies is the most irrationally confident NFL gambler. And he has no reason to be, and we're blaming on him that he took us down. But we hit a snag and finished a game and a half behind you.
Oh, look at that! Oh, that's pretty exciting. Yeah, we were kind of monitoring who was going to do better. So you're blaming your buddy? You just threw him under the bus right now. Does he even get to hang out with you anymore, or did you just, like, he has to do remedial work around the house and stuff?
No, yeah, he definitely still gets to hang out, but we are we're discussing like a payment plan for entering next year's contest.
Yeah.
And or reparations for the prize money that we should have won this year. So it's kind of...
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
So the football season, what is the golf season? The golf season basically goes from what, like the mid-February all the way through October?
Well, one would think, but actually, it's actually like January. It starts in January, and then... Depending on if you want to travel overseas or how much stuff you want to play in the off season, it can go through December almost. Like you can play almost year round if you wanted to. So it definitely messes with football because there's tournaments in China and Australia and stuff, and you don't get too many games on TV in China.
Right.
So you do hit a snag there.
But that's bad to play for 12 months a year, right? Like, you need to recharge your batteries at some point.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, there's definitely too much of a good thing, and especially when you're traveling long distances. So I played a lot last year. I think I'm going to take it a little easier this year.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this, but they keep tabs of how much prize money each golfer won.
You won
like over $5 million last year. It's pretty. You won two tournaments, but man, $5 million to play golf. I mean, I'm sure when you're growing up or dreaming of playing a golfer, you would have probably signed up for that, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I feel very blessed to be able to play golf for a living, and especially to get paid to do it. So, I love what I'm able to do.
I mean, there's paid and there's paid. I mean, that's a lot of cash. Now, and that doesn't even count. You're in Vegas. You have all these, like, degenerate gamblers and all that stuff. I mean, how many times have these rich guys, they must think they can beat some of the pros. Like, hey, let's go out on the course and play skins. You must get offers like that, right?
Well, there are some. I mean, there's definitely games like that. And I've never played with, but I've heard stories about poker players who are like terrible golfers, but they love to play and they play for really big money. There's like this thing that everyone knows about called the big game, where these guys just come out with like ridiculous amounts of cash. And,
yeah.
But I've never sat in a game or played in a game like that. So,
you should try. Oh, God.
I was just going to say I don't have any ridiculous Las Vegas golf stories as of now.
You should challenge Jordan. It's his 50th birthday coming up. He seems to think he's a good golfer. And I don't know, Michael, if you're listening, I think Nick can really kick your ass. I mean, it's just, I know you're a competitive guy and all, but this is one challenge you can't win. That would be fun. But beating Jordan in golf, I would say, would be one of the most satisfying experiences you could have. You actually beat Tiger 2 months ago in the match play tournament, which I would say is on any golfer's bucket list.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, neither one of us, it wasn't like the highest quality match.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I'm definitely going to take it, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of it. And I mean, no matter what, you know, I can always say that for that one day I took him down.
So that was what round was that? What was that match? They have a couple of these match play tournaments. What was that one called?
That one was called, well, it's like the World Golf Championship, and then it's the match play version of one of those.
Yeah.
And it was in Tucson, and it was only in the second round, but, I'll take it. I mean, Lehigh beat Duke in the first round. It was safe for Lehigh.
So you won the first round, and then Tiger's sitting there in the second round. At that point, are your friends just emailing you and texting you, oh my God, Tiger, take him down?
Yeah, definitely a lot of well wishes. And one of my buddies from the Super Contest flew in. My wife was there, and it was it was a big deal to me. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe that. I doubt it was him, but it was fun, and he definitely drives the sport. So,
right.
Anytime you can come up on top against Tiger is something I'll definitely remember.
How much like, what's it like to actually just be on a golf course for 4 hours playing 1-on-1 with him? Like, are you guys talking? Are you making jokes? Are you ignoring each other? How does that work?
Well, as a competitor, I mean. We weren't really buddy out there. It was pretty civil. Like, if one of us hit a good shot, we would say something like that. But, you know, there was no, like, how's the family or anything, you know, where we weren't telling jokes, which I mean, I can appreciate, you know. I've played with him enough times. I know him, and we talk. So, but I was glad that, you know, it was a serious match. And, people ask me, did he talk to me? And he did not, but I wasn't really looking to talk to him either. So,
yeah.
It was fun.
Do some people like talk a little bit more as almost like a strategy? Like, you're being overly friendly, but the real reason you're doing it is you're trying to knock the guy off his game.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's gamesmanship out there. I mean, I think like when you're playing Tiger Woods, he's not going to do you any favor. There could be, but I try to just, you know, if guys want to talk, I'll listen, and if they don't, then that's fine too. I mean,
because you know that's one of my strategies. I don't know if you know, but like I made a very dramatic pickup basketball comeback. And a lot of the times we're playing with younger kids at a couple of the colleges around here. And I always try to butter them up early and talk about, hey, man, take it easy. I mean, I'm just an old guy. And you do that. And it seems like people do lay off a little bit. It's a nice strategy. I've been working on it. I think I would do that on the golf course, too.
Have you ever been invited to play in that Celebrity League?
Yes, I was. Well, I couldn't have. I mean, I just wouldn't have been in shape at that point. I don't think they have it anymore, though. But I was... The celebrity game, I'm not even a celebrity, but I think they were so desperate for players that they asked me. And I really think that would have probably led to the most humiliating experience I ever could have had, right? A nationally televised, like something, getting blocked by Bow Wow or something. never lived that one down. But I'm going to make a golf run over the next couple of years because I used to play until I was 24. And I used to actually caddy in the whole thing. And I retired because I just did not have the temperament for it. But now I'm a lot more mellow. But I was thinking it'd be fun to play in the Pebble Beach one. You must have played in that, right? Right after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that would be really fun. And that's like, I mean, it's pretty laid back, you know? You wouldn't be embarrassed or anything. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm not nearly enough of a celebrity, so I'm gonna have to raise my celebrity status somehow. Like maybe have some terrible ESPN sitcom or something that could run for 6 months, so I could get on there. But what celebrities did you get teamed up with when you played that?
Well, there's not only celebrities in that event because there's probably 150 guys. There's probably, I would say, I don't know, 50 celebrities. Like this year, a friend of mine got to play with Clyde Drexler.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick played right behind me.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Yeah. He actually played with Nick Saban, and that was like, I thought that was pretty sweet group to.
Yeah.
If you could have heard them talk. I don't know if they talked football, but anyway. But yeah, you could get in that for sure. I mean,
I gotta make a comeback. See, at the stage I'm at with golf right now, I'd be so scared to drive because they have all the spectators lined up. And I'd be terrified, like, to duck hook one and take somebody's head off or something. That'd be my worst nightmare. Back to Tiger for a second. You know, he won 2 weeks ago. And the sport just feels so much different when he's involved versus when he's not involved. And, I mean, he drives the interest of casual fans just toward the sport. And when he's not around, it feels like then it just becomes the diehard golf fans. Can you guys sense that?
Definitely. I mean, it's the most, evident, like when he's at an event, not necessarily the Masters because even though he's always here, but if he's at, say, take Bay Hill where he won, if he's there, I mean, there's just this buzz and people, there's probably at least 50% more people at the event. Probably more.
Wow.
And it's just, there's electricity that kind of goes through it. And I think, it's great that he's coming back and the tour needs him. I mean, there's just no question about it. And we as players, I think, know that. And, I think when he was first coming out, you know, there was a little bit of maybe hostility, like, because he was getting so much attention. But now we know that he drives it, and there's definitely a different feel when he's at events.
Yeah. Was it weird? You know, he goes away. It was 2008, basically, when the last time he peaked, and then, you know, he hurts his knee and then personal problems, all that stuff. He really hasn't been Tiger for 4 years now, and no, you know, he's been replaced by this bullpen by committee of good players, but there's not really an alpha dog. Like, is it weird to compete in a sport where there's not that one guy to look to?
I would say a little bit, yeah. I mean, I also think that because he was And because he's come along and he's brought so many new fans, I think people's people's opinion and what people expect of golf is a little skewed because he's so amazingly good.
Yep.
You know, like back in the day, if you won two tournaments or whatever, I mean, that was a really good year. But then Tiger comes and wins 8 or 9, and it's like, well, where's this guy winning? You know, nobody's won 5 times this year, which, like, you don't see it. You didn't see that very much before him.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, like I said, he drives the sport, and he makes it, when he's playing, it's the top, you know, one of the top stories on SportsCenter. And when he's not, then it's like maybe mentioned. So it's good for golf, no question.
Do you buy the theory that part of the reason it's been hard for him to come back is because there's this generation of younger golfers now that have come up that it's just a more competitive field in 2012 than it was in 2001?
I would like to say that. I mean, I think that that's debatable, but I think what he did back then was just so incredible, and now I think it's harder for him because of him, just because he made golf cool, and, you know, he made kind of being an athlete part of the game before, where it was just kind of like, you know, a bunch of bigger dudes would play golf, and that's it, where he kind of like, well, he's going to play, then he's going to go to the gym and whatever. And so now I think that the culture of the game is, he made it cooler, where a guy that may play baseball or whatever would try golf, and then two, he made it where that be like, leave no stone unturned and be fit and be like, you know, trying to be the best, whereas before it was just kind of a
right. You know, that Hank Haney wrote that crappy tell-all book about him. It kind of broke the golf code a little bit. What's the feeling on the tour about that? You know, because there's kind of an unwritten rule, right? You work with a golfer and you kind of keep whatever happens and what's talked about to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read the book. I think it's, you know, I mean, I've met Hank Haney a couple times. It really seems like he's kind of trying to, from the outside looking in, it seems like he's trying to keep himself relevant. I mean, I don't see much point in it besides that.
Yeah.
And, as much as, you know, we would like to believe, if anyone wrote a book about any other golfer, probably wouldn't get very many copies sold.
Right.
So, Tiger is, I mean, people have probably been trying to make money off the guy since he came out. So,
yeah.
It's hard to have that much respect for what he wrote when it just seems like such a desperate move.
Augusta's starting today, the Masters. It's my favorite tournament. I mean, I'm not really going out on a limb. It seems like it's most people's favorite tournament. If you had to rank in order the tournaments that you'd want to win, would this be number one?
It would, yeah. I think, you know, like you said, not to say that you're not a golf fan, but a lot of people watch the Masters when they won't be watching the tournament next week or whatever. And I was the same way before I started to play. And I can remember these events, you know, like go down the line and tell you who won. And it's just, I think it's the most prestigious event. And I don't know if you've ever been at the course here, but it's just like, I mean, it's like golf mecca. So this would be the top of the list for me.
Yeah, it seems like Field of Dreams for golf, basically. So U.S. Open would be number two, I'm guessing, right?
It would, yeah.
So what's number three? I'm always interested in number three for a golfer, with their number three thing they'd want to win.
Well, for me, it would be the British Open.
Oh, off the board. I wasn't expecting that one. I would have said Ryder Cup.
Oh, well, I kind of do it differently, just because the Ryder Cup is a team event.
Yeah.
And I played on the President's Cup last year, and it is amazingly fun. to, because for 30 weeks out of the year, we're like, you have no teammates, you know, you're competing alone. And then to be on a team is really cool, to have all these guys rooting for you and you root for them is really fun. But I think the British Open, with all the history and it's the oldest golf tournament in the world, that would be a lot of fun to win.
Plus the other fun part of the Ryder Cup, you get to beat foreign guys. Underrated. Yeah. It's fun to be on a team. It's also fun to beat, like, English guys.
Yeah.
French guys. Get those guys out of here. Gotta take the flag back. You finished in 2010 in the Masters. I think you finished seventh. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How close were you to actually winning? Because I didn't remember that until I was researching you today. Seventh place is usually like two, three strokes back.
Well, I think I was a few shots back, and I actually made a big run on the last day. I shot a 65 in the last round.
Whoa!
And so I wasn't actually, like, in contention. I mean, I wasn't really in contention. I kind of made a move from about, I don't know what I was, 30th maybe or something like that. So,
right.
I haven't been in contention at Augusta yet, and it's something that I definitely want to do, hopefully this week.
So in 2010, you were that guy when all of a sudden they showed the random guy who they haven't shown for 4 hours putting an 18 and doing a fist pump. You're like, Nick Watney, 65 today. I'm like, what? Where was he all day?
The random guy, definitely in 2010.
So you have, how are we feeling about the course this week? How are you feeling in general? Because, you know, we've adapted you and all. We needed to win this.
Well, it's definitely a boost, you know, to get that endorsement from Grantland and from you. But I think that this year has kind of been like so-so as far as the start of the year for me.
Mm.
But I was back home last week. I worked pretty hard last week, and I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, this week always kind of gets you a little bit more excited than any other tournament, so I'm feeling good. And the tournament, or the golf course, is like it's pouring rain here right now, so it's going to be playing long, and it'll be a good test, and we shall see.
What's your favorite hole out of the 18?
I think the 15th is it's par 5, and you hit downhill the green over water, and it's pretty dramatic. You know, there's usually a lot of people around, and it's a hole that can be really good for you, or it can be bad. It's just it's pretty pivotal, and I like that hole the best. Probably.
Did you have a golfer growing up? Who was your guy?
My guy was Freddie Couples.
Oh, I love Freddie Couples. That's a good one.
He's just like so relaxed and stuff, and that was definitely my guy growing up.
My guy was Nicklaus.
Yeah.
I caught the tail end. Yeah. Okay. When he won in 86, that's one of my, I caddied that day too and came back and then watched Nicklaus win the,
Where did he caddy?
I caddied at this club in Connecticut. I don't want to say the club because I didn't really like it that much. I don't want to get in the plug. But when I was living with my moms during the summers, we used to do. And the best part was, like, they had the women would play on Tuesdays. It was one of the, you know, it was really, like, antiquated out of the 1800s, like, the rules. The women were only allowed to play on Tuesday mornings, and they were the best ones to caddy for because you get to, they was just putters. They want to use the carts. So I'd, like, really look forward to Tuesdays because I would just carry the four putters and run ahead. But Nicklaus that day, it's still my favorite. I don't know how that gets topped. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, through the top of my head, like, my favorite Masters moments in that. That's so clearly number one. I mean, I don't even know. Number two would probably be that when Tiger, that first time he won, when the score kept going up and up. You know, I remember, I'll never forget watching that going, oh my God, is he going to get to, like, 20 under?
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, the 80s had a really nice run of Masters.
Right.
You know, it got really dramatic there for a few years, and then it kind of stopped, and then it would get dramatic again. But who do you think, take Tiger out of this, what golfer do you feel like is playing the best right now in anybody?
I think Rory McIlroy is he's on a run right now. That's just, I mean, he's won already this year, and I think he's the best driver of the ball in the world, really. So, and when you drive it as good, you know, that good, then it makes everything else easy, because then you're always hitting from the fairway, and you're always, I mean, just makes golf pretty easy. So, I think he has a great chance, and everybody says Phil, which he's always really good around here too. So I think that it's probably good for the game that those top three guys are really in form coming into the event.
Yeah. You know, the fans are basically, I don't know when exactly this happened, but you're either a Tiger guy or a Phil guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like every fan leans one way or the other, and that's just the way it is. Did the players lean that way, or is everybody neutral?
I'm sure some guys do. I mean, I think maybe some of the older guys, since Phil's been around a little longer, maybe they know him better. I mean, but I think when you're trying to beat him, I mean, you can't really play favorites to anybody.
Yeah.
But I think they're both good guys, and
you could have picked one. It could have been controversial if you just picked one right there. Watney says he's a Phil guy. You brought your wife to Augusta, right?
I did, yeah.
Now, in the back of her head, she's probably thinking, what if my guy's in contention on Sunday and all of a sudden there's a TV camera 2 feet from my face for the last 2 hours of when he's playing? Like, is that, do you guys talk about that?
Well, she, I think, like, last year, I won in Philadelphia, and sometimes, not the Masters, but sometimes they just cut it off right afterwards, you know, so you don't see anything. You just see the last putt, and then that's it.
Yeah.
But in Philly, they saw her on TV, and her friends were, you know, she got a lot of text too, like, oh, I like your dress and whatnot. So I think that is definitely on her radar. I mean, not now, but if that time were
at some point.
You know, like, yeah.
So, what about crying? Will she cry? Do you think she could cry on command? Can she fake cry?
She's not really a crier. Like, she's not a happy crier. So I don't think she would cry. I think she'd be excited, but she's not really a crier, I have to say. I mean, a fake cry, I don't think. She's a big, she wears the big sunglasses. You know, so I don't, even if she was crying, she probably wouldn't take those off.
Tears play well after in the husband wife embrace. I'm just throwing it out there. It's right, nice I'll see tears. Maybe cut some onions or something on the 18th. Get that going. I always think about, like, if I won a golf tournament, how my wife would react, and I think she'd be the most excited about the money. I really do. She'd be like, how much did we win? Because that's what she asked me when I come back from Vegas. What did we win? You know, it's one of those deals. So I feel like with the match, she'd be like, what did we win? Was that $2.13 million? Yeah. All right, settle down, honey. Let me hold the trophy. But that would be fun, though. Who else do you have coming? Do you have an entourage or just the wife?
Well, I don't know. I have my parents here, which I don't know if they count as an entourage.
Yeah, let's throw them in there. That counts.
Okay, I have my parents. I have two sets of aunts and uncles. And and like I said, one of my buddies from the Super Contest.
Oh, nice.
And so I don't know if that actually qualifies as an entourage, but that's what we got going.
You should have your most famous family member should have been there. Heidi,
oh, Heidi,
your cousin. Yeah, you should have had Heidi Watt. They would have shown her on camera.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to mention this, but she's, I think, busy with the Lakers right now.
Oh, come on. So, it's the Masters.
Well, she came a couple years ago, and it was like a big thing because she missed opening day. You know, and they're like, well, what are we going to do when you're at Nesson? It's kind of a big thing.
Right.
But she did come for a couple days, so she made her Masters appearance.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really want to talk about this, but man, she went from the Boston Red Sox to the Los Angeles Lakers. I can't really support it. I'm sorry. Heidi. I'm kind of out on Heidi after that career move. I don't care if she was better and she got paid more. Like, to work for the Lakers, to take paychecks from them? Come on, Heidi.
Well, she actually, we talked about it. I talked about this with her, and she said to me that she wanted to follow your, she was following your lead.
Oh, stop it. I would never take paychecks from the Lakers. I agree with her moving out here, but.
You have Magic Johnson in your home? And you, I mean.
No, he was in our office studio. Come on. I might have to have Heidi on to really dive into this, because this is really unforgivable to go from the Red Sox to the Lakers. I don't know how she sleeps at night. I really don't. I'm sure she wakes up in the middle of the night just wondering, like, just in her heart, why that had to happen.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, to be honest with you, actually, now that we are talking about this, when we have, there's a tournament in Boston at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And last year, my caddy, at the end of the week, he put the bag down and he said, would you mind if next year, instead of your name on the bag, it can just say Heidi's cousin on the bag? Okay. I mean, that's all we heard. I mean, for 4 days, it was
wow.
Like, where's Heidi? Where's Heidi? You know?
And yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, listen, there's nobody more famous than the Nesson Red Sox in the stadium reporter person. Whoever that person, I don't know who it's going to be this year because I haven't seen a game. I didn't watch spring training, but whoever that person is going to be as popular as the governor, the mayor, the senator. It doesn't matter. It's a lot of attention. All right, so give me a prediction for this Masters. What needs to happen here? Do you need to get, you need to be high 60s in round one, or can you be like, even, like, what are you thinking?
Well, I think it's important to get off to a good start. I would say the best start would be 4 under par. They're calling for low scores because it's raining, and then when the greens are soft, the balls will stop, you know. And so they're calling for low scores this week. I think under par every day, starting with 15 under I would take 15 under and sit and watch and see if they could catch up.
So you need to get to 15, you think?
I think 15 would be a winning number, yes.
And you know you can play the course because you shot a 65 that time.
Yeah, so it's out there somewhere.
Where does the fact that you're a Sacramento Kings fan, does that help or hurt this whole cause?
I think it helps because, you know, my cousin and I we've been diagramming how and what we need. And I think DeMarcus Cousins is, I mean, this year we lost the coach.
Yeah.
But he's playing amazing right now.
Ever since the coach left, he's been unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if we can get one more scoring, I mean, Tyreek, you know, Tyreek needs to work on a jump shot. I mean, I love the guy, but I saw a thing, actually it was on Grantland, about Tyreek he has the worst jump shooting percentage by 7 points.
Right.
NBA.
Right. That's not good.
So we need to have one more, if we have scoring guard, I think we got something, you know?
Yeah, the Isaiah Thomas pick was nice. What's weird is that they had a horrible offseason. Like, they traded backwards in the draft so they could take Jimmy Fredette, who doesn't play. And then they took John Salmons' contract in the trade. He's untradeable. Yeah. And then, you know, they picked up Travis Outlaw as an amnesty guy, and he doesn't play either.
Yeah.
So they're paying all this money to the small forward position, but they had their Tyreek Evans is probably a small forward. I don't know. I don't know what the Kings are doing.
Right.
But
well, yeah. I mean, they're one of the few teams that, I mean, they had to find something to throw money at just because with the new CBA, like the minimum, you know.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, they threw it in the wrong direction. But
to say the least.
Yeah.
Now it looks like that stadium that everybody thought was like a done deal, all of a sudden it's not totally 100% of a done deal, which is a whole other soap opera that's going. But hopefully this leads to them keeping the team and getting one of the better picks in this draft, which, you know, if they could get one other big dude to get with Cousins, I think that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But I've always liked him. I feel vindicated by Cousins. Even though I wrote 5 weeks ago that Detroit would take Greg Monroe over him, I think in the last 5 weeks, I think Cousins, he might have flipped that. I mean, he's putting up these 35, 15 games now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's ever since he was on NBA Tonight, and I think it was either Shaq or Charles was like, we need this kind of effort out of you, and he said, well, I will from now on. Ever since that comment, I mean, he's been a monster.
Well, maybe this BS report will work this way for Nick Watney.
I hope so.
They'll point back to that time he went on that podcast, and that was it. Yeah. He won the Masters. His wife cried on Sunday, the 18th.
Yeah, if I can get her to cry, that would be good.
All right. Best of luck. Thanks for the time, and we'll check in with you maybe before the U.S. Open, but we'll be rooting for you. Thank you for the time.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
All right.
So I get to sign off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.